welcome. Glad you're here. Pat is going to be joining me here for about an hour. Then Bill O'Reilly is joining me. We have the original Mindhunter. You know, they've just released season two of Mindhunter. We have the real guy who actually sat across the table from all these serial killers and did have a mental breakdown. That's where the story picks up in season two. We'll have that coming up for you in just a minute. And Pat, do you want to start with the Chicago teachers that are praising Venezuela? They went down for their summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Or Patrick Byrne?
Wow, those are both good.
Those are very good. I've got another one too, but I think we'd be just stuck. Which one? I think
Patrick Byrne.
Yeah, Patrick. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with Patrick Byrne. The fishy orders from the Men in Black. He says this is political espionage. There's a lot more coming out around the Clintons now, and we'll give you all of those stories. He has just left Overstock because of this. His stock went down because I think people started to make him look crazy. I know Patrick. He's not crazy. We'll give you that story coming up in just a moment. Stand by. Patrick Byrne has always been, you know, a colorful a CEO. He was the CEO of Overstock. He's the guy who came up. But he is, and on his personal website, you know, he has talked about Wall Street and the Sith Lords there. But he said, operating on the advice of Berkshire Hathaway chief executive Warren Buffett, that he disclosed that he had been in a romantic relationship with a woman that's being accused of being a Russian spy who tried to infiltrate the circles of political power before the presidential campaign. This is a fascinating story. In his statement, he says that there is a deep state, Men in Black, and political espionage. Soon as he said those things, his stock went down. And he has been forced now to resign from Overstock. The stock took a 12-point leap right after he left. This, can you imagine, in the days gone by, somebody standing up and saying something like this with evidence, their stock would have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, we are so wound up with politics that somebody says, hey, I am working with the FBI on something. It's not patriotic. It's crazy. We're going to tell you the story in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Somewhere in America, within the sound of my voice, there is a man who is waking up to the sound of a rooster crowing. A guy whose life, whose frontier, I actually envy. But I don't actually want to do it. He stretches his tired bones as he showers and gets dressed. He might smell the bacon the good woman he married has set to sizzle in the pan as he pulls on a pair of Tecovas boots. It's a hard old world out there. And a man with less grit might not find the strength or courage to face it every day. But this man does. Life has knocked the wind out of him plenty of times. But he always comes back, ready to lend a beating heart and an able body to the work at hand. You see, just outside of this man's front door is his frontier. Hard work and perseverance has lengthened his character over time and made his face just a little bit leathery. Nowhere is that more obvious than the quality and the comfort of the boots that are on his feet. He might walk around in the farm, or he might take his good woman out for a nice night on the town. But he'll wear the same boots, Tecovas. They take 200 steps to manufacture, and they're built by the best leather workers using the most exotic leathers. You're going to find your dream. You're going to find your character. You're going to find your frontier in a pair of Tecovas. Tecovas.com/Beck. TECOVAS.com/Beck. Go there now. Tecovas. Western goods for your frontier. After two decades as the chief executive on the online retailer Overstock.com, Patrick Byrne has resigned. I want you to listen to what he said yesterday, because he was everywhere. He says he is telling this story on advice from Warren Buffett. He came out recently on Fox, I don't know, about 3 months ago. We talked about it and went in great detail on what this story was. We told you about his relationship with a so-called spy who is not a spy, was not convicted of being a spy. In fact, the judge threw that out. Now, here's Patrick Byrne talking about the fishy orders he got from Men in Black. Listen to this.
In 2015, 2016, they got back in touch with me for the third time. And it was, I was given some fishy orders. And I carried them out in 2015, 2016, thinking I was conducting law enforcement. Let me emphasize, don't say the FBI. The FBI is barely involved in this. It's all the top. The men in black, as I call them, showed up and asked for this third favor. Anyway, I'm not going to go into the details right now, but I didn't know who sent the orders, but I did them. They seemed fishy last summer watching television. And here's the punchline. Here's the punchline, people. Last summer watching television and some congressional hearings, I figured out where those orders came from. I gave them a guy named Peter Strzok and Bill Freestab, Carlin, McCabe, Comey. That was who sent the orders.
Well, you're naming a bunch of FBI people there.
Well, the Peter Strzok, and it has been confirmed to me that my instructions came from Peter Strzok, that the people who carried me orders were coming and taking it on behalf. That's been confirmed.
That is stunning. Now, what he's talking about was he had a relationship with this woman. Actually, he just met her at a libertarian convention in Las Vegas. Happens Freedom Fest. Happens every summer. I just spoke there. He spoke last year when he was finished speaking, or in 2016, when he finished speaking there. The Russian woman, remember her? She was with the FBI. What was her name?
Butina. Maria Butina.
Something like that. She's everywhere. And she's, you know, posting all these pictures. She's a big gun advocate. She's from Russia, blah, blah, blah. She approaches Patrick and she says, "Listen, darling, I am from Russia. And my name is not Natasha, but I'd like you to meet Boris." And he feels a little weird about it. Now, he has a national security clearance. So anybody who thinks that he is just some crazy half-cock guy, he has a national security clearance. And so
do we know why?
No, we don't.
It's interesting.
Yeah, he does. He apparently does things with the Council of Foreign Relations. He's an advisor of some sort or something like that. So we don't really know. But we do know that, you know, I don't have a national security clearance. Do you?
No.
No. I don't know anybody who really. Well, I do know a few people who have a national security clearance, and they're all buttoned up people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So sometimes this will happen because somebody like Patrick, who travels all over the world, the government, it's not unusual for the government to say, "Hey, when you're over there, if you happen to see something, would you just let us know?" That happens. That's probably a very good thing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't want to lose his national security clearance. And so he immediately calls the FBI and says, "So this woman, Natasha, she said I should meet Boris." And the FBI said, "Now, we've already looked into Natasha. She's fine." "Are you sure?" "Yes." "Okay, because she's like wants me to go over there and meet with people." "Fine, Patrick. We've already checked her out. She's fine." "Okay." So he, starts to get into a romantic relationship with her. As that's going on, she's like, "Listen, you really need to meet Boris and Vladimir." And not Putin, just another Vladimir. And he's like,
Okay. So he calls the FBI back and he says, now she wants to introduce me to Boris and Vladimir. Are those guys cool? Yes, Patrick, stop. We've already investigated her. She's fine.
But that's awesome that he checked so many times.
Right, three times.
Three times. Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy's a hero. This guy is not.
He's a good guy. He's a patriot.
Right. He's doing everything that we say. How come Donald Trump didn't just call the FBI? How come Hillary Clinton didn't call the FBI? Well, because.
He did.
Over and over.
And now he's having to leave his own company because of it.
So he calls the FBI a second time. They're like, Patrick, she's fine. Boris, Vladimir, they're fine. Go ahead. Okay, I just wanted to check. Then she says, listen, I'm having a council. I'm meeting at very fancy hotel with Hillary Clinton's people. And also little guy from Florida, Marco Rubio, meeting with his people too. Want to come along? And he's like, no, I don't think so. So she leaves. He calls the FBI a third time and says, okay, guys, she's now meeting at this hotel. She's going to be meeting this weekend with Hillary Clinton's people and Marco. They finally said, Patrick, we know it's okay. All right. So all of that stuff happens. Nobody says a word about it. It's all fine. He continues his relationship with her. It goes on for a while and then it's over. Look, I really have to. No, really. It's not me. It's you. And so they break up, go their separate ways. Then the men in black come, which he now says is Peter Strzok. And so now his phone rings and it's after Trump is gotten the nomination. And so the phone rings and it's the FBI and they're like, Patrick, we want you to start maybe having sex with girl again.
So now, are the American agents have Russian access?
Yes, I think they do in this particular case. And so he says, "Wait, but I broke up with her. I don't have. Well, we'd like you to rekindle that relationship again because some things have come up. Some things have come up. Wait a minute, you guys told me you already checked her out. You already gave her special dispensation on being here in the country. You guys told me you did all of this work, and then I spent about a year with her. She's not a spy. Well, we think she might be involved in some. She's not a spy. We think we'd really like it if you'd like to have sex with this hot woman. We would like you to start doing that. Okay, I'll take one for the team. So then he went back with this hot woman and had more sex with him for us. Wait a minute. Story's starting to break down here a little bit. But so he goes back and he furthers this relationship. There's nothing. In fact, he is compiling evidence that she's not a spy. So then the FBI, when they get through with, Donald Trump becomes president, then all of a sudden they need to indict this woman as a spy. He says, I have testimony that she's not a spy. I have evidence that she's not a spy. He files it with the FBI. She goes to court. They try to make her into a spy. The FBI does not include any of his evidence. He was the main point man. That doesn't involve any of his evidence. The judge says, you got nothing here. Throws it out. Well, wait a minute. She didn't register. As a foreign agent, she didn't register, as a foreigner that was going to be doing these things. Okay. So she gets 6 months in prison. And now everybody thinks she's a spy. And.
Yeah, because she did go to jail.
Yeah, she did go to jail for 6 months, for not registering, which she should have gone to jail for not registering. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make her a spy or a Russian agent. They used her to smear the right. They used her to smear the NRA, and they used her as yet another example of Russia dealing with all the Trump people. Now, he has more to say, and he came out yesterday and was everywhere. And I will tell you, This is very, very reminiscent of, I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you. I got advice from somebody like Warren Buffett, and it's why I did The Puppet Master. I'm not going to tell you who gave me this advice, but somebody like a Warren Buffett gave me this advice because we had been threatened by George Soros's people. And I've told that story before. And the advice was, Glenn, make the biggest deal you can make out of you being number one enemy on George Soros, or you could just be hit by a truck. And you need to make sure that even if you are in a legitimate accident and you die, everyone's first thought is, it's George Soros had him killed.
Right.
He said that's the only way to protect yourself. Get out into the sunset, into the sunlight, and make sure everyone knows you and George Soros have locked horns. That's why I did The Puppet Master. I did it not only to expose him, but also to stand in the bright light to tell everybody, hey, if I disappear, it's him. Okay? This advice from Warren Buffett to Patrick Byrne, and the way he is going on this tear of telling everyone, he doesn't care, it's CNN, it's Fox, it doesn't matter, screams to me, you better let everyone know in case you get sick all of a sudden or you're hit by a bus, that people understand, wait a minute, there might be something else in a deep state. And it's interesting to me that he's saying it's not the FBI. It's not the FBI. It's just these people in the FBI. We'll have more on this in just a minute. I don't like it when people say, I slept like a baby. Really? Because my babies wet themselves, sometimes, you know, threw up or whatever. They cried all night. I don't want to sleep like a baby. I don't want to sleep like a baby. I just want a good night's sleep. Last night, I had my MyPillow. It was one of the best night's sleep I've had in a long, long time because I fluffed my pillow. I put my head down. I started to read my book. I fell asleep. The next thing I know, the alarm is going off. Ah, that is a great night's sleep. And I don't know babies that are sleeping like that. Well, they sleep during the day when you don't want them to sleep like that. They sleep like that, and then you can pick them up and carry them around. Don't you miss the days? Don't you wish somebody could just pick you up while you were asleep and just carry you around? It would be weird. You'd be like, why am I at work? That's sleeping like a baby, where just nothing wakes you up. Right now, Mike Lindell is offering his lowest price ever offered on radio or TV for MyPillow. MyPillow is going to help you get a great night's sleep. It's only $34.99 per pillow. It's a two-pack of MyPillow's premium pillows for $69.98. Not been offered this, I don't think, ever. Lowest price. It's available only on MyPillow.com or by calling 800-966-3117. You have to use the promo code BECK. Promo code BECK. Don't forget that. MyPillow.com or call 800-966-3117. MyPillow, thank you for a great night's sleep last night. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. Okay, here is Patrick Byrne talking to Fox News. This was political espionage. Listen.
And I finally went to see Buffett. And Buffett's kind of my rabbi, I call him. And he said, Patrick, you have to come forward. And I said, you know, it's going to make some feds furious at me. Their heads are going to explode. And he said, you let feds do their job. You're a citizen. You got your job. You're coming to the public. Here's what it is. This was all political espionage conducted against Hillary Clinton, Rubio, Cruz, and Trump. This is not a theory of mine, some political theory. I was in the room when it happened, in a way. I mean, not in a way. I was part of it. I didn't know. I knew I had some of the pieces. I thought I had the pieces of something much bigger. Last summer, as stuff bubbled into the news, thanks to good journalists such as yourself, I started realizing I had these very important missing pieces.
Does he sound credible or does he sound crazy?
No, he definitely sounds credible. And he also thought he was just doing the right thing. And he's going forward on the advice of
Warren Buffett.
Which I think I'd be calling Warren right now. Hey, Warren.
You want to just say something here?
Yeah. How about you bring something up into the... Because it's not even the feds that are the problem for him right now. It's the reaction to what he said by his customers and probably his board of directors.
It is a problem with what he said. It's the way the news media twisted it last time.
Yeah, okay, making it look like he's nuts.
Yeah, made it every story I read, with an exception of a handful, made him look like a crazy man. Oh, here's another crazy conspiracy theory from somebody on the right. No, mm-hmm. He's a libertarian. He doesn't like either side.
He also said, did you notice there? He also said
it was Clinton.
It was, she was targeted.
Targeted as well.
As well as the Republicans were. So they were just, the Russians are just trying to screw with the system here. Right? They're just trying to.
And I don't know if it's the Russians. I don't think it's the Russians. He's not saying it's the Russians. He's saying it is the men in black inside the Justice Department that are not necessarily coordinated by the Justice Department. He's saying that there's a deep state here that's running
a side game. Yeah, okay, like the Peter Strzoks of the world.
That are deciding, you know what, we're not going to put up with this.
Jeez.
So, I mean, it's not good. Let me give you one more piece. This is from Patrick Byrne on CNN with Chris Cuomo. Listen to this.
Their behavior was so strange. It's almost like...
And by they, you're saying people in the FBI. You don't have to tell me who they are, but you say that you know who they are.
Yeah, men in black. Mm. And they, it was so strange that I was thinking
Stop
it's almost
for a
like...
Notice that he says men in black. That is an organization that even the police and the FBI don't know. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. That there is a full deep state that is a side organization that is clandestine.
And I don't think Fredo believed him there. Do you?
Well, Fredo ends up in the pond anyway, so it's not doesn't matter what Fredo thinks. We'll go back into what he was telling Fredo in just a second.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, remember I told you the other day about the person I work with that has air conditioning, and air conditioning his car that went out just, I think it was last week or the weekend before. He had a 3-hour car trip in the blazing summer sun. And remember how I told you, I bet he wished he had Car Shield. True story. My friend got the estimate back. The repair is going to cost him over $2,000. And if that doesn't hit all of us like a load of bricks, I don't know what will. We're going through a really blazing hot summer here in Texas. You have Car Shield. That's the kind of thing that Car Shield covers, and you don't have to worry about it. This is why I trust Car Shield. That's why he's going to be trusting them in the future. In addition to providing 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car when yours is in the shop, Car Shield also makes the process of fixing your car for a covered repair extremely easy. Don't make the same mistake. Don't worry about it. When something happens to your car, make sure you're covered with Car Shield. 800-CAR-6000, 800-CAR-6000. Use the promo code Beck, carshield.com.
Be sure to get your tickets to Glenn's Christmas show in Salt Lake City, December 7th. It's been a long time. This is going to be great. Go to glennbeck.com for details.
Man, I'm really excited to welcome a brand new sponsor to the show, Tecovas. I know how ridiculous a great pair of boots can cost. Tecovas makes great boots and accessories. They sell their boots directly to the customer, so their boots are half the price of anything that's even similar in quality. They're all handmade with a 200-step process with only the best materials. Their entire line honors the timeless traditional boot styles. No silly stitches. stitching or sequins or loud colors or anything else. These are just great boots like my grandfather would have worn. With Tecovas, there's no need to break them in. They arrive already ready to be worn immediately, comfortably. They're easy to order with tremendous customer service. Tecovas always has free shipping and free returns. Check out their boots and their clothing and accessories right now. Tecovas.com/Beck. That's TECOVAS.com/Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Hello, America. It's Friday. Joined by Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, the podcast that you can hear wherever podcasts are listened to. Pat and I have been talking about Patrick Byrne from Overstock, who is talking now about Men in Black and a political espionage against Trump, but also Hillary Clinton. I don't understand how this is working, especially with Peter Strzok, but he says it was Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton. And they were all as he says, Men in Black, somebody that is in the FBI. He believes, I can't say he believes that it was led by Peter Strzok. He says, I got my orders from Peter Strzok. The orders came down for me to do things from Peter Strzok. And he said, as an honest American, I was just trying to do what was right. I figured this out last summer when I started seeing all this stuff break. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was in that. They were using me. He's a guy with a national security clearance. And he said yesterday in several interviews, I went to Warren Buffett because he's one of my gurus. And I went to Warren Buffett and he said, listen, you're not a politician. You're a citizen. You did something that the government, you thought the government was asking you to do. You need to be a citizen and just come out with it. And so he did. And here he is with Chris Cuomo last night.
Their behavior was so strange. It's almost like...
And by they, you're saying people in the FBI. You don't have to tell me who they are, but you say that you know who they are.
Yeah, Men in Black. And it was so strange that I was thinking it's almost like they're letting this scandal like develop, and someday they're going to shake it up and crack it and spread it all over the Republican Party. And then I thought, well, there's no way the FBI would do it. There's no way President Obama would do that. I like President Obama. I think he's a fine man, and he's a class act. And anyway, I thought there was no way. Well, anyway, that continued. Listen, you haven't even heard Wild yet. When the corruption investigation was done, I was told by federal agents, well, I don't want to get into the two. It became clear, it seemed to be more about blackmail than it was about law enforcement. And I'm not going to, but it was more about blackmail. July 1st or so, they came back to me and said, boy, what a mistake we made. Russia, you're right. There's this Russia, this gal Maria. Oh, my gosh. Highest national priority. And they said, and the very honorable men and women, the Men in Black, they said, we want to be clear. This never happens in the United States. We are the good guys. We don't work like the bad guys, but we need to ask you to rekindle a romantic relationship with Maria Butina. And
members of the FBI that you're sure were members of the FBI asked you to do this. And you know their names.
And I know their names. And they said these orders are coming from the personal... This is being personally supervised by Y, and it's being and at the request of X. And then 2 months later, they said Mr. Z has added his name to the signature.
All right, now you're giving them anonymity now, but I heard you say on Fox, if you go put a camera in Jim Comey's face and say the name Patrick Byrne, you're not going to like the reaction it gets.
That's the Z.
Wow.
So Peter Strzok and Jim Comey?
Jim Comey. And you'll notice that...
Wow.
You'll notice that Peter said, or I mean that that Patrick said in the interview a few weeks ago, he said Bill Barr is the guy who's going to break this all apart. Now, you also see that the independent counsel... that has the Inspector General of the Justice Department is about to come out. They say the week after Labor Day, he's going to come out with his report on what was happening with the FISA report, with the FBI, you know, looking into the Russian dossier. This is going to be a piece of it. I can't imagine it's not going to be a piece of it.
Sure seems like it. I think the only one of the things that might be hurting him here is using the term Men in Black, because then it sounds like a, you know, fantasy movie. And they're, I'm sure that in the minds of some of these, you know, like Fredo there on CNN, I'm sure it sounds like a conspiracy theory or something created out of
caliphate,
a sci-fi movie.
The caliphate was conspiracy theory.
Yeah. I mean, until there was a caliphate.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, Patrick is, first of all, he looks like he's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Does he not?
Yeah, he does.
And the reason why you could make him look like a fool is he's saying, well, look, there was this guy, and I can't tell you the name of this guy. He's not speaking and saying the names. He's putting the pressure on the outside to be able to have the inside pressure do their job. Mm-hmm. So he looks like it's a conspiracy theory because it's hard to explain when you're not laying out all the facts and you're doing 10 minutes on TV. I mean,
and it's hard to believe for Americans because they know Jim Comey's not in the FBI anymore. Neither is
Peter Strzok.
And so it seems like, okay, come on. And this is some deep state operation from guys who aren't even in.
They were in the department. That time. They were in at the time he's talking about this.
Okay, and if so it was Comey happening, was still the head of the FBI.
Yeah. So he's saying, if I'm reading this right, what he's saying is, it's not, it's not pervasive in the FBI. There's a strain of the FBI that has gone rogue. And that's not all the FBI. And remember, he stood up for the FBI. He's like, I'm not talking about all the good men and women of the FBI. There's a strain in the FBI. I'd love to hear. You don't have to say who you are, but I'd love to, if you're in the FBI, I'd love to hear from you on what you think of this, if this makes sense to you. I've talked to FBI people before, and some of them just loved Comey and everything else. Others said they thought there was something wrong up at the head of the FBI. So I don't know. But we have to know. We must have this information. We have to know, is this stuff happening or not? Because if this stuff is happening, there is no freedom. There is no real republic. You're already toast. You want to run for president? You want to do something? You want to change policy? You want to say, hey, we're on the wrong track? You're not going to be able to do it. This is why America has always performed well in the world, because we have rule of law. When something goes wrong, you can trust the FBI or your local police to come in and do it. Now, that hasn't always been true, but generally it has been true. When there is dirty business going on. But we started losing our faith in that with TARP. We started losing our faith going, wait a minute. Now, there were conspiracies around 9/11 that were not helpful.
That's for sure.
However, there was a group of people. Sandy Berger was at the lead bag man.
Well, yeah, something was going on.
Something was going on. And so that just makes all the other stuff seem more credible when there's probably nothing to any of that. In fact, I'm going to say there was nothing to any of that. The federal government did not know about 9/11. They did not know.
No, but they were protecting somebody, right?
They
the
were
Saudis
protect-
or whatever. The, yes. Whatever the case was.
I'm convinced
and that's
it's
why
the
Berger
Saudis.
Went in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm convinced afterwards they wanted to make sure nothing came out about the Saudis or the relationship with all of these presidents throughout the years.
They figured they had to continue to do business with them. And it would have been really, it would have blown up in their faces if the word had gotten out, because the American people wouldn't put up with it if Saudi Arabia was behind this in some significant way.
And we shouldn't have.
Yeah, we shouldn't
have. This is a great case of what George Washington said. Don't be beholden to anybody outside.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
You know, you call it, when they're friends, they're friends. When they're not, they're not. The Saudis were not our friends.
What was the secret group inside the CIA and Jason Bourne? Operation Treadstone?
Treadstone.
Treadstone.
Yeah.
So he's kind of alluding to
a Treadstone.
A Treadstone that's type within the FBI.
That's a better example than Men in Black.
Yeah.
Because Men in Black is just so hokey. But Treadstone, you could see happening.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good example. May I just say, you should pray for Patrick Byrne and pray that justice is done. Right now, I can tell you just what Patrick is saying is causing a firestorm with really, really bad people. Watch the movie with Treadstone. Watch the Jason Bourne movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's those kind of people that are now that he's setting on fire. And I think it's why Patrick Byrne is getting out in front of the media as much as he can. You don't think Treadstone would have him, you know, all of a sudden drive over a bridge being drunk? Something happens to Patrick. I think we should all say, I know Patrick. It doesn't. That seems out of character for him. Oh, a heart attack all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Pray for Patrick Byrne. You know, sometimes you walk into your office and you boot up your computer and you sit down only to discover that you've got 4,000 emails from yesterday. And when you left, your inbox was clean. I mean, you know, pretty clean. Well, it didn't have 4,000 in it. So you wipe the tears from your eyes. You sign a letter to your wife and children promising that you will be home someday when the email war ends. This wouldn't be so bad if you were not in constant back pain because you have a terrible office chair and 4,000 emails. The chair seemed to originally be designed to make waterboarding more unenjoyable. You don't have to put up with that. What you need is an X chair with its patented dynamic variable lumbar support. It will help you keep calm and email on. Remember, in 3 hours, you'll only have 5 hours left. And with the X chair, that's not so bad. X chair, get one now. We're sitting in the studio and they are really, really comfortable. X chair, $100 off right now. Go to xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com. Or you can call 844-4-X-CHAIR. xchairbeck.com. Go there now. Use the promo code XWheels and you're going to receive a free set of the new X wheels with your chair. It's xchairbeck.com.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I have to tell you, you know, people say that, you know, people are not taking the Amazon fire seriously enough. And I have to tell you, when your packages aren't coming to the door, you are going to be really pissed. You need to pay attention to this. I mean, I get most of my television from Amazon. I just ordered a watch strap and some bed sheets just last night. They better be on time.
That's not the Amazon they're talking about. They're talking about, you know, the jungle, the rainforest,
the jungle.
Yeah. The other Amazon that nobody pays attention to anymore.
Right. So. Well, it's the lungs of the earth. You know that.
Right.
The lungs of the earth. 20% of all oxygen for humans comes right out of the Amazon.
Right out of it. It's manufactured right there.
Right there.
So
it's God's manufacturing plant.
Yeah.
Big air business. That's what's happening there. God's in big air. you know, first of all, is this, you know, not good? They say 30% of the world's animal species are in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they know that. I mean,
they count them. They go to somebody.
There's
an accountant.
Is there?
Yeah, there's an animal accountant.
Right. They're like, you know, 30%. Of course, there are thousands of species that we have not even seen before.
Right.
Well, then how do you know they're there?
I've actually, you know, on those nature shows with David Attenborough, he has said there are millions of species we haven't even discovered on this planet.
How
do you know that if we haven't discovered them?
Right. But I believe that there's really small things. And
there's
probably animals, you know, in the Amazon that are hiding, you know.
We don't know that for sure.
No. And since when is fire a bad thing? I mean, I know we all learned from Frankenstein. Oh, fire, bad. I know we got it there. But since when is fire not part of nature? You know what's not part of nature? Fire engines. That's not part of nature. Fire engines. When it comes to forests, it actually makes the forest stronger. Now, you don't want the entire thing burning down,
right?
But do you know that the Amazon is bigger than all of Europe? It's kind of big.
Yeah, it's really big.
Right. So, you know, it's like Yellowstone. I went to Yellowstone right after the fire. When was that, Pat? In the 80s, early 90s, something like that? And I went right after Yellowstone had almost burned to the ground. And it was not the time to go to Yellowstone. Wasn't so pretty. But look at Yellowstone now.
Right. Beautiful.
We have more trees than Earth has ever had that we know of.
Yeah, the figure was 3 trillion. There are more trees on Earth than stars in the sky.
I don't believe that.
It's what they say. 3 trillion.
Who's they? The men in black?
Yes. Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok. We got Peter that information directly from Peter Strzok and James Comey.
Wow.
And I brought it right into you as
Listen,
soon as I could.
Peter, here's what I want you to say. There are more trees on Earth than the stars in heaven. Throw that one out. Your economy collapses. I hate the Amazon, the little flying drones with the packages. Let it burn. Let it burn to the ground. Big guy in Washington running Washington Post, and then his business burning down. This is good. We in Russia celebrate.
Okay. All right. Back in just a second with Mr. Bill O'Reilly.
Program.
Yeah, I talked to Bridget Phetasy yesterday, and we were talking about people like Tim Pool and stuff. I think there should just be a segment on The Blaze that should just be called "I Don't Know Why I'm Here." Where they're finding themselves like, wait, I thought he was the bad guy. I thought all of this was the bad guy. Now I find myself here and I don't even know how I got here. It's because the left has gone just ape crazy. Just crazy. Do you see that Bernie Sanders, $16 trillion climate change bill?
Yeah. Yes. But that's going to pay for itself in just a few years. So it's basically free.
Really?
It's basically free.
It'll fit. Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to create 20 million jobs, Glenn. Do you know what that's going to do for the economy?
No, it won't.
20 million jobs.
Do you know that Sweden, how many jobs they created between 1950 and I think it's 2001?
70 million?
Zero.
Oh.
They had no job growth.
None?
None.
Wow.
None.
Wow.
All right.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Holy cow, is there a ton to talk to with Mr. Bill O'Reilly? I don't want to even delay. We begin in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, this is the best time in history to be alive. I know it sucks sometimes. I know we're like, but I'm not crapping out in the woods. I don't have to go out to a little shed in the middle of the night. I don't have to use like burlap for toilet paper and then wash it. I mean, it's this is good. I'm in Texas and it is currently 64 degrees inside. Outside, it's the surface of the sun. So there is really a lot of great stuff. This is the best time to be a human being on planet Earth. The pace of technological change is awesome and terrifying as well. It can work to our advantage in a lot of ways, and it can work into our disadvantage. We have to keep up with the times. Such is the case with SimpliSafe. The time that it used to take for home monitoring to take it to the next level, I don't know. Home monitoring was the same from like the 1980s until SimpliSafe. And then they just broke, you know, the next level and the third level and the fourth level and the fifth level. For example, SimpliSafe's glass break sensors can tell the difference between a window breaking and a plate smashing. Test it for yourself. I mean, I don't recommend it. I mean, you know, maybe you're like big Russian. Oh, good meal. Throw it in fireplace. I'm not sure it's the Russians that do that, but you get the idea. Anyway, great technology, and it'll keep your home safe. SimpliSafe has a huge deal going on right now. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. Get free HD security camera when you order. That's a $100 value. Your free HD security camera now with SimpliSafeBeck.com. It means the difference between police arriving at your house in 45 minutes or 7 minutes. Find out more about it at Simply, S-I-M-P-L-I, SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com.
Ready for this really happy greeting that Bill always gives?
Yes.
What?
Bill O'Reilly, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Welcome.
What do you want? Why are you talking?
How are you, Bill?
I'm really sad. Seth Moulton dropped out of the Democratic sweepstakes.
We lost him before we even knew who he was.
The congressman from Massachusetts dropped out. I mean, who's next? Stu? don't tell me he's going to drop out because I'm going to be very upset.
So, Bill, let me ask you a question just on this, and then we got some real meat to hit. But Bernie Sanders just said, one thing I have to win is New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
You think? I mean, first of all, that's like you know, Ted Cruz saying, I've got to win Oklahoma and Texas. Yes.
Do I think Bernie Sanders is going to win in January in New Hampshire? No.
No.
I don't. No. He won last time, as you know. But you mentioned in your unbelievably long run-up to this segment that Sanders has proposed a $16 trillion new Green Deal. Okay. Mm-hmm. I read it and I went over it methodically on BillO'Reilly.com last night.
Yeah.
This now transfers Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, from a socialist to a communist. If you read it, and no one will, but I did, he's basically saying that if he's elected president, he's going to nationalize the American economy so that he will put oil out of business, shale out of business, fracking out of business, coal out of business. He's going to put them out of business, all right? And then he's going to establish the federal government, the new energy industries. This is communism. That's what communist nations do, not socialist nations, okay?
Well, but he's
joined Bill de Blasio as a comrade.
Listen, Boris, don't talk like that. Listen, you can call it socialism. We all know that it's not democratic socialism, of course. But this is what Venezuela did. That's exactly.
Yeah, when you start to nationalize private business, and when the federal government says, no, you can't do this business, and we'll set up another business, we'll, under our regulatory capacity, that's communism.
So
that's
Bill,
where Bernie is.
Right. Well, we know that. that.
But it's never been this blatant. Well, and did you hear a word about it on any of the newscasts?
No.
Not a word.
Okay, so here's what's really interesting. The same thing with the new Green Deal. The new Green Deal, in it, and I know you read that one as well, and I did, the the new Green Deal specifically says that it is going to change the economy. Free market economy is a thing of the past, just right. in the new Green Deal. Now, it doesn't spell it out like it does in with Bernie Sanders,
right.
but it is the same thing. These are communists.
Well, when you say that, people go, oh, ho, ho, you know, you're it's hyperbole, you're overstating.
No.
We're not.
No.
I mean, this is, if you really understand the mentality of the far-left media, which drives all this stuff. Because if the far-left media didn't approve of it, they would scorn it, and it wouldn't happen. So Bernie Sanders, if he thought he was going to get a backlash from the Democratic Party or even just liberals, not far-left, just liberals, he wouldn't do this. But he knows he's got a free pass in America right now because they're so crazed about Donald Trump that anything, anybody, anything, all right, we'll take anything in place of Trump. So that's where we are.
All right. So, Bill, do you think this is why the younger voters are very upset with the Democratic Party? Because they won't have one debate on climate change. And yet this is the center. They say it's our World War II. They say it's, you know, the most important thing known to man. But they won't have a debate. Is it because they don't believe in it, or it will expose them as the communists that they are?
Okay. I come at this a little bit differently, Beck. I've been on a number of college campuses the last 3 weeks because my son is a junior in high school and we're looking around.
Okay, so wait. We're coming back to that because I know what it was like when I walked around Columbia University with my daughter. It wasn't exactly pleasant. I can't imagine
Bill O'Reilly.
Well,
a whole different ballgame. But my observations from being on a number of college campuses is that most college students that I have encountered could not care less about voting or what's happening. They don't pay attention. They hate Trump, okay, because you have to. You know, it's almost like being in Hollywood. You want to get invited to the parties, and that's and Washington, D.C. is the same way. If you want to get those invitations, all right, to show up at the party Friday and Saturday night with all your other fellow industry people in Hollywood, with all your politicos in Washington, you have to toe a line publicly
mm-hmm.
or you don't get invited.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing on college campuses. If you want to be with the cool kids in the sororities or fraternities, you have to toe a line. But did they know anything? I had one 30-year-old asked me the other day, and it was a social setting that I was just cruising through fast, what PC was. I swear to God, what's PC? Because I had mentioned something that I had written a book back in the Stone Age called Old School Life in the Same Lane. Oh, what was that? I said, it's a mocking of PC culture. What's PC? Okay, so my point is that all of this younger voter thing, number one, they're not going to turn out and predict a 2020 election. And number two, this is, again, driven by the media. Here's what the millennials think. Here's what Generation X think. They couldn't care less. They're pursuing whatever they want to do on a day-to-day basis. And so I'm not worried about that at all. What I am concerned about is that the American people cannot, and I mean that literally, get the truth about what's happening in this country anymore. No matter if you're 18 or 88, you cannot get the truth. It is just horrifying.
So with that, I want to transition to Patrick Byrne. And I want to take 1 minute and then come back. Patrick Byrne he's a friend of mine. He spoke to Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett said, you have to tell this story. Look, you're not a politician. You are a citizen. And you did this as a citizen. You were asked to do it. And you have to expose it. That comes from Warren Buffett. And he's been made to look like he's crazy. And his story makes an awful lot of sense to me. I believe him. I want to get Bill O'Reilly's look at this and what it means for the IG report on the FBI that's coming out in a couple of weeks and so much more. Bill O'Reilly, the author of the new book, Killing Trump.
United States of Trump.
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm a little farther this week. I haven't finished it, but I'm halfway through the contents. And I have to tell you, The table of contents is one of the best table of contents I've ever read, Bill. You can get Bill O'Reilly's book now at Amazon. It comes out in just about, 40 days or so. It is the best book Bill O'Reilly has ever written. It is going to be a number one bestseller for a very long time. It is the United States of Trump. It comes out to the 24th. Order your copy now. Back with Bill O'Reilly here in just a second. Okay, I know I've said this over and over again, but it's worth repeating. The Second Amendment is not about sporting. It's not about what, you know, you're going to do when you go hunting or I'm going to go shooting. And it is not about what you are allowed to do. Make sure you understand that. It is not about what you as a citizen are allowed to do. It is what the government is not allowed to do. And in this case, what they're not allowed to do is interfere with your ability to keep and bear arms, period. Let's stop talking about this in the way where we are limiting the citizen. That is the opposite of the Bill of Rights. It is to limit the government. The USCCA believes strongly in this, and they are firmly committed to educating people who will listen to anything and everything having to do with your Second Amendment rights. Okay, we've got to educate ourselves. We have to be able to fight the fight, and we have to stand up for the Second Amendment because it is on the ropes. Right now, they're giving away free guns every single day because they can, but they're giving them to responsible citizens like you. You never know from one day to the next what gun legislation is going to look like down the road. How'd you like a free AR? It could be a new Glock, could be a Kimber, could be a new AR. There's no catch, 100% free, 100% secure, and confirmation text will be sent. But hurry, the giveaway ends August 30th. Today's gun disappears at midnight tonight because they're giving a gun away every single day. Text Glenn. Text the word Glenn to the number 87222. 87222. Text the word Glenn and win your gun today. Standard message and data rates do apply. We pause for 10 seconds, then back to Bill O'Reilly. One night only, Glenn Beck Christmas Stories. It's happening in Salt Lake City, December 7th, a night which will live in infamy. You don't want to miss it. I haven't done this in about 10 years. It's the most fun we have, the hardest laughs, and I just want to tell you in advance, every story you will hear is absolutely true. No matter how crazy it might sound, it's my family. So Christmas Stories with Glenn Beck, a lot of laughs. Get your tickets now. You can find them at glennbeck.com or wherever tickets are sold. December 7th, Salt Lake City, Christmas Stories with Glenn Beck. All right, Bill. Let's get your read on Patrick Byrne and what he's saying.
All right. Set me up because I'm not that familiar with Patrick. Go ahead.
Okay. Patrick is the guy from Overstock.com, and okay. He's a libertarian. He has a national security clearance. Don't ask me how. And he came out about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he said, listen, there's a lot of stuff in the media here that's not true about all these investigations with the FBI. And I know because I found myself kind of in a Hitchcockian way in the middle of this. And it took me until last summer when I started seeing things come out to realize, oh, my gosh, I was in the center. And he came out and he said he was dating that Russian that everybody is saying is a spy. She wasn't. The courts proved that. She just didn't register as a foreign agent. He had called the FBI 3 times. He had met her at a conference. And she's like, listen, I'm Natasha. Why don't you meet Boris? And he's like, okay. So because he has a national security clearance, he called the FBI. Said, hey, she wants me to meet some friends of hers. I think she might be an agent. Is she an agent? Should I meet with her or not? And they're like, oh, no, no, no. We know all about her. We know who she is. She's not an agent. Okay, so he goes with her, and she starts to get romantic, and, you know, time goes on, and then she's like, listen, I really would like you to meet Boris over in Russia, and gives names of people. So he calls back, calls the FBI, and says, hey, I just want to give you some names. She wants me to meet these people. Are these people okay? Have you checked her out? Are you sure? Yes, yes, Patrick, all those people are fine. She's been checked out. We got it. Okay, third time. Now, this is like a year. Third time he calls because she says, oh, so Patrick, while we're laying in bed smoking cigarette, I want you to know I was having an appointment next weekend with Hillary Clinton's people and also Marco Rubio, and maybe you come. And she, and he's like, okay, that's great. Sure. He calls the FBI. I don't know if it's from the bathroom or what. And he's like, look, she's meeting with all of these people who are going to run for president. Do you want the name of the hotel or the time or anything like that? They say no.
No,
Patrick, it's not. She's cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Then Trump wins. And that's when they ask him to go back and rekindle a relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
He testifies to them that she's not an agent, yada, yada. Last summer, he's watching and he recognizes the name Peter Strzok. He's like, that's who was giving me these orders. And he's saying this is a deep state conspiracy with Peter Strzok. And he also said James Comey is involved.
Well, you know, I'm a big due process guy. I mean, I'm from an outsider's point of view. And by the way, that story is so funny that you could use it in your Christmas show in Salt Lake City.
Well,
I'm sure it overlapped Christmas somewhere.
Yeah, well, someplace. We cut the Christmas tree. It's red,
right?
Christmas tree, but we like it. Right, Boris?
Deck the halls.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm a due process guy, and I when I commentate on anything, I don't convict and I don't exonerate. I say, okay, let's see the evidence. And if this guy's story is true, and it sounds like, why would he make this up? Because he has nothing to gain from it.
Yes, lots to lose.
Right, and, you know, he's got the details. You know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense if somebody fabricate that. So then you get into the zone of, and this is really fascinating, does the Trump administration, including the president, really want to destroy the FBI? See, that's the question that's holding everything up here. So the chain goes Trump, Barr, Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General of the Justice Department,
right,
who's got this report already written. It's all set to go. Now, it's supposed to be out the first or second week in September, but that was supposed to be out at last March.
Sure.
Okay, so that's the chain. Trump already knows what's in the report, so does Barr. And the report is going to be what they call in the press damning to the FBI. How bad it is, I don't know. I mean, I can't possibly speculate on that.
Patrick says that Bill Barr is a giant ship that is about to take this deep state submarine in the FBI and blow it out of the water.
Well, let's hope justice is done.
Yes.
But in the process of doing all that, and remember, not only is Horowitz on the case, but Durham, the U.S. attorney from Connecticut, was appointed by Barr to specifically look at the FBI. And then Lindsey Graham, who I probably have more confidence in than any of the swamp creatures in the Justice Department, his committee in the Senate is looking at everything as well. I think Lindsey Graham is, you know, a wild enough guy to just go out and just say anything. So the American people
Lindsey Graham is not a good idea. Lindsey Graham is not exactly, you know, a gladiator against corruption and cronyism.
Believe me, he is going to blow this thing sky high. I saw him a couple of weeks ago at the Trump fundraiser that I was covering out here on Long Island. Lindsey Graham introduced Trump. I mean, they're joined at the hip. When was
that a good thing?
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying that Lindsey Graham isn't going to cover anything up. But there is a strain in Washington that says, look, do you really want to dismantle the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Because that's what this is going to do. Comey, Strzok, McCabe, Orr, all of these players that looks like violated the law, all right, they're going to fight back. they're going to produce all kinds of stuff in their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be a giant mess of proportions that we haven't seen since Watergate. And this is the FBI. These are the people that protect us from terrorism. And you're going to rip this agency apart. That's what's backing everything up. So everybody knows that's happening. You indict Comey, McCabe, they're going to turn on each other and everybody else and say, look what happened here. Look what happened there. Look what this one did. Look what that one did. Look what this senator said. Look what this congressman did. Because they know it all. That's what protected J. Edgar Hoover for 50 years.
I know. But I feel like it's a good thing to rip this Band-Aid off. And if we are, we're not at this point, but if we can be logical enough to say it's not all of them and we want to clean all of this up, it will be a good thing in the long run.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
More with Bill O'Reilly in a second. You know that the fear of heights, your ability to match musical pitch and the type of wax that's in your ears has one thing in common. They're all determined by your genetics. Many of your physical traits are imprinted on your unique genetic code. And with a product like 23andMe, you can explore what makes you, you. You can also learn about your genetic heritage, where you came from in the world. And most importantly, you can learn about the important information about your health, such as whether or not you have a likelihood for a blood sugar regulation disorder. It's 23andMe. Now, they don't diagnose any disease or, you know, describe overall likelihood of developing any disease. They just tell you about the select genetic variants. Visit 23andMe.com/Beck. Get the important test information. Order your health and ancestry kit at 23andMe.com/Beck, and you can meet your genes in 125 personalized genetic reports. Get to know who you are, where you came from, and where you're headed. 23andMe.com/Beck. 23andMe.com/Beck.
Come share some Christmas joy with Glenn in Salt Lake City, among the shadow of the everlasting hills. December 7th, just go to glennbeck.com for all the details.
We're with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com, where you can listen to his commentary and his no-spin news every night at BillO'Reilly.com. Also, his new book comes out at the end of September. It is his best, The United States, according to Trump. Bill, let me go to Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw, blasted by the Young Turks, which is, you know, amazing. This guy is, you know, I mean, you know, when you're in a tank top in your mom's basement, I really don't care.
It's a good look.
Yeah.
You didn't like that look?
No, So, all right. You know, he's on the Young Turks and he blasts Crenshaw and he's just foul and everything else.
Yeah.
And, it shows where our culture has gone. What are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, I mentioned a few minutes ago that the overriding issue and story in America today is that we can't get the truth. I mean, just it's so much fog and noise, and I am getting to the point where, you know, you asked me about Patrick. I didn't really know that much about it because I don't watch the cable news anymore. I don't learn anything from it. I should have picked it up.
No, I don't either.
I should have picked it up because I usually do a review in the morning, and I did this morning.
Yeah,
but I was concentrating on the Trump fatigue factor, which I think is going to emerge as a major story soon.
Let's talk about that, but not now.
But you know, look, Young Turks. Okay, so this is, remember SCTV Mellonville?
Yes,
remember that?
Yes,
one of the most hysterical satires in the history of America, and as a bunch of Canadians put it on Flaherty and all those madmen up there. That's what this is. This is Mellonville.
Well, actually, okay? I mean, if you look at Young Turks, I mean, it had a $20 million capital infusement from, I think, Katzenberg was involved in that, but we should look.
Yeah. And Soros, I'm sure, is putting money in there.
And hang on just a second. And it is one of the co-founders that started, what is that?
Justice Democrats.
Yeah, Justice Democrats, which is responsible for the AOC mob.
Yeah. and I'm not saying that that doesn't do damage. It does. And all of these things do damage. Center for American Progress is the real, now vile. These are the people who tried to get Ross's name at the University of Michigan off the buildings mm-hmm. after he gave the college $400 million. And this is a Soros agency. So, yes, these people are out there. It's subterfuge. You don't know who's financing them. For CNN to give them a platform, or where the Young Turks, or wherever they appear, whoever's giving them platforms, grossly irresponsible. I mean, I did this for more than 20 years on Fox News. I never put on anyone that was irresponsible. We vetted everybody, okay? And yeah, I could have put loons on and then just yelled and mocked them like Morton Downey Jr. did. It's easy. But what we have now is we have the Tower of Babel, and we have just throw anybody on, they're going to say anything. So if you lose your eye in Iraq, then they're going to mock that. That's what this guy did, all right, on Crenshaw. And Americans, they just walk around where you would have been stoned to death 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't have done that. Now you can do anything. There are no standards of behavior.
So I think that the average person is just so sick of it, it just goes by their radar. But the media talks about it, and Google and YouTube just dismiss it. I mean, they're fine with making money off of these guys.
What is incomprehensible is there isn't any growth in the cable news, and hasn't been for 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. Without Donald Trump, that props it up, okay? So take Trump out of the mix, you have nothing. I mean, CNN doesn't have one program doing more than 1 million viewers for 24-hour cycle. So you take him out of the mix, then who are they going to hate then? All right, and then they're going to have 500,000, 400,000. And so these corporations have got to know they don't have any growth at all anywhere, nothing. But yet they do the same thing every single day because they don't know what else to do. All right, and they're so untalented, so uncreative. They have to do the same thing, say the same thing, same people. It's unbelievable. And again, Trump drives 90% of cable news coverage, 75% of network news coverage is Trump. And when Trump leaves, whether it's 2020 or 4 more years, he's going to start Trump TV. He's already lining up investors to do that. Okay? Boy, if I were Fox News, where 95% of the viewers support Donald Trump, 95%, and you have Trump TV? Oh, boy. So anyway, it is a madhouse, and I use that word literally. And if people are on there, they're going to hear and see so much irresponsible, deceitful stuff that my advice is just walk away. Walk away. Get out of it. And that doesn't mean they're all bad. They're not all bad. There are some good people, but they're getting fewer and fewer.
Tell me about Trump fatigue.
This is a real danger. If you are an American who doesn't want the Democratic Party to obtain power, then, you know, you've got to vote for Donald Trump, whether you like him or not. OK, that's where you start. So if you're smart enough to know that the Democratic Party at this point is a party that is as far left as we've ever seen.
Communists. They are literally backing communist ideas.
More than that, economically, no due process.
Yes.
None. Mm-hmm. All right? You are not entitled to be innocent until proven guilty. You are guilty of whatever they want to accuse you of. No due process. Political correctness. At the University of Michigan State University, the incoming kids are being told you cannot say no problem on this campus, because if you say no problem, that indicates the person you're talking to may be a problem. So you're not allowed to say no problem.
Shut up. It is absolutely true.
All right. So 1,500 incoming freshmen are being told they can't say no problem. And then, of course, they go, well, no problem. I won't say it.
That is crazy. I mean, okay, who has so much time?
I can give you 100 more that when you fill out your registration form to college, you don't have to say whether you're a man or a woman. You can be a dinosaur. You can be a turtle.
My daughter went in
to say.
In Texas. My daughter, she's 13. She just went for a physical. She needed it for play school sports, so she goes for her physical, and she has to fill out this form for the doctor, and it said, you know, all the different genders or other. And when she came home and I said, you didn't mark that you were a big, beautiful butterfly? She said, no. And I said, next time you get the opportunity, you mark it big, beautiful butterfly, and you insist that everyone calls you that.
Well, they don't even know, the universities, how many men or women they have.
I know.
They
know.
Don't know.
I have no idea.
So what's the gender breakdown? Oh, well, we got this, you know. So getting back to why I'm ranting about this, if you think that Trump is not what you want in a president, what is your alternative? This totalitarianism? So Trump should understand that he can win by default, but every blanking day, it's Denmark or it's Anthony Scaramucci.
Yep.
Scaramucci? Come on. Why you have now elevated this guy into, you know, someone who probably will sign with CNN, which is what he wanted to begin with.
Right.
So you not see what this is? But if you read United States of Trump, as Beck has done, he won't admit it, but he's done it.
The table of contents, incredible.
I explain exactly why Donald Trump is compelled to do this every day. All right? He has to do it. It's almost like crack. All right? Because he gets bored. And then he's got to, I'm so bored now. Let's attack Anthony Scaramucci. Oh, come on. A lot of Americans are going to go, enough. I just need a day off from Denmark. Give me a day off. And Trump has got to know that Trump fatigue is going to hurt him unless he wises up.
Who's around him that's going to tell him that?
Nobody. There's nobody around him. And even when I speak to him, and I absolutely tell him this stuff, all right, he registers it, and then 15 minutes later, it's gone. It's gone. So, look, he's an imperfect man, an imperfect leader, an imperfect president. There's no question. But when you go to the polls, all right, I mean, the other side is just
it's
staggering.
Not, yeah, it's not crazy. It's dangerous. It is really, truly dangerous.
Absolutely.
You know, the New York or the Washington Post said, they said that I was the biggest flip-flopper on Trump. I was the third biggest flip-flopper on Trump. And I said, you know, on the radio the next day, I haven't flip-flopped. I've corrected where I made a mistake, and I still will tell you that it's dangerous, and he has some things that I don't like, and I really don't like, and things that I'm concerned about. But I will tell you this, it's not pro-Trump to say, if these guys get in, it is a different world entirely.
Traditional American like you and me, any traditional American would watch their country vaporize if these people got in. And the other thing I say about Trump, and I don't look at my analysis in the United States of Trump is not based on politics at all.
At all.
There's no liberal or conservative stuff in there.
None.
Is that he governs, and you'd never know it by his demeanor, but he is governing in a traditional way. All right. His presidency isn't out of the box. I mean, what he's trying to do with the economy and foreign policy is what other presidents have tried to do in different ways. It's not like he's breaking any Oval Office rules. He isn't. He governs the same way. And two other presidents were as transactional because Trump, and I don't want to get too boring on this. We'll get into this more depth when a book comes out September 24th. But Trump is a transactional guy, which means everything he does, everything, including his romantic life or whatever, is a transaction. Okay. And there were two other modern day presidents exactly like that. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Dwight Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. They were transactional men. They had no emotion. Neither of those guys had any emotion whatsoever, FDR or Eisenhower. Okay. It was like, okay, this is what I want, or this is what I think is best for the country, and we're going to get it, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it no matter what. And that's what Trump does. He says, we're getting screwed by Western Europe and our trade, so I'm going to say that, and I don't care if I tee him off. So he's not doing anything that hasn't been done in the past. And you wouldn't know that because the press is painting him as this hysterical guy running around breaking all the furniture in the White House. It's not what's happening.
In fact, I would go further. In some ways, he's more traditional than we've had in a very, very long time. The role of the president is not to propose new stuff. It is to take what Congress did and then sign it or disapprove. And that's what he did on health care. He was like, Congress, you want to change it? Change it. Bring it to my desk.
Yeah,
that's much more traditional.
Way.
Pardon
immigration
me?
Is the same way. He
right.
wants a deal. He
right.
wants new immigration law.
Right, but he's
at the same time, he's telling his people, because this is a big issue for him and his voters, I'm going to enforce federal law.
Yeah.
I'm going to enforce it.
All right. Bill O'Reilly, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Okay, guys.
All right.
Always fun. Thank you.
Good. Talk to you next week. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. I have... Is he hung up? He's off? I have read his book. It is really, really good. Do not tell him any of that. But it is, I mean, it's really good.
So you're more than halfway through the table of contents.
Yeah,
you
are. Do not tell him that. Okay. Now, here's our sponsor. It's LifeLock. With the advent of deep fakes, it isn't going to be long before someone will be able to manipulate a video of themselves to look and sound just like anybody they want. In this ever-broadening field on which cyber criminals can play their nefarious games, it is vital for you to hold on to all of the pieces of your identity that you possibly can. The good news is that's why there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, keeps you informed, and if somebody out there is trying to get a hold or sell any of your information online, they're there. You may not be able to stop somebody from creating a deep fake of you and turn you into Tom Cruise. Wouldn't that be nice? But you can and certainly should use LifeLock to help you protect absolutely everything else. No one, if anybody wants to turn me into Tom Cruise, please do it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can see the threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and get an extra 10% off your first year by using promo code BECK. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
Is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Glad you're here. The seats are going to be gone very soon in our for our Christmas special. We're really excited to spend the evening with Christmas Stories in Salt Lake City. Only one show, one night only. It's December 7th. All of these stories are true. And it is important for you to know that when you go in. God is my witness. Stu is my witness. Pat is my witness. Pat.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
True.
Yes, true.
Smoke cookies.
True.
Cutting of the couch.
True.
My grandfather's story.
Not true.
I mean, it's
yeah.
These are, when you hear these stories, if you think your family is crazy.
Oh, you'll know better when you come out of, when you come out of that show. You know, I mean, we're traditional people.
I will tell you, Pat, I don't think believed me about any of these stories when we first started working together about 30 years ago or so. And then he met my family.
Uh-huh.
And they were telling the same stories and... Mm-hmm. They were telling it like they were proud of themselves.
Yes. Yeah, they were. Yes, they were. It's a dysfunctional family.
What, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So come and laugh at my family for Christmas so you'll feel better about yours. You can get all the ticket information and the tickets at glennbeck.com. One show this Christmas, and you don't want to miss it. In Salt Lake City at Kingsbury Hall, December 7th, glennbeck.com.
You're listening to Glenn Back.
Now here's Glenn with the rest of the show.
Why, thank you, Hillary. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right. Oh, we should probably move on.
Yeah, probably.
So what do you have planned for the weekend, Pat?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have my oldest daughter and her husband over for a wild viewing of Tolkien.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get any...
No, my son and I watched
crazier than that.
My son and I watched it. It's good.
Is it good?
It's good.
We really liked it. Yeah, looking forward to seeing it.
Wow, how do you?
I know
you're going to get some. You're going to get a nap in before Monday, aren't you?
I'm going to try.
I mean,
I am
that
going
is,
to try because you know, it's going to be a wild.
The
one.
The nice thing about it though is it's not 14 hours long.
Tolkien,
which almost everything he ever did.
I know that's
you
for
know
sure.
His little Jeez. His little biography. Does not last 14 hours, which is nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
You know, it's
yeah.
But
it's not like a Ken Burns documentary.
Yeah, I think you'll like it if you haven't seen it. What was that on Netflix or Amazon? Something like that. It's Tolkien. It's his story, and it's really good. All right, back in just a second with actual news of the day.
Of entertainment and enlightenment.
Well, San Francisco, the board of the city of San Francisco, they're fixing it. They're turning this thing around. I'm telling you, they have just put out some new speech guidelines in San Francisco. They've changed the name of convicted felons. They think that's a little too harsh. A little too harsh.
You don't want to hurt the feelings of rapists and murderers.
You don't. So they're going to make it much, much better. I'm going to tell you their plan in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Somewhere within the sound of my voice, there is a man, and I'm thinking about a specific man that I know who is waking up to the sound of a rooster crowing or one of the cows mooing. He stretches his bones in bed. I don't know how he gets up every morning. He might be smelling the bacon that his wife is cooking up. They've been married forever. He puts on his Tecovas boots, his work boots. He's going out to the farm. He's got a lot to do. It's hard and an old, tired world out there. And a man with less grit, a man who didn't fly helicopters for our military might not be able to find the strength or the courage to face it every day, but this man does. He gets up at the crack of dawn and he goes to bed beat tired. And in between, he's working with the cattle, he's working with his family, and he has raised an amazing family. Life has knocked the wind out of this guy several times, especially, you know, the last few years been hard, but he always comes back ready to lend a beating heart and an able body to the work at hand. Out beyond that front door lies his frontier. And it's an amazing frontier that he has to rope and wrestle to the ground every day. Hard work and perseverance has lengthened the character of this man over time. And nowhere is that more obvious than the quality and the comfort of the boots on his feet. Tecovas boots. They take 200 steps to manufacture. They're built by the best leather workers using the most exotic leathers. You're going to find your pair at Tecovas.com/Beck. That's Tecovas.com/Beck. It's Tecovas Western Boots for your frontier. Okay. What did the Fed chief, Jay Powell, just say? He just came out with a statement. The stock market is down 300 points. He has told aides that he thinks he convinced Americans the economy is vibrant and unrattled through public messaging campaign. Apparently, that's what he said. And then Trump has suggested that the Fed chief might be a bigger enemy to the U.S. than the president of communist China. And by the way, that's the first time communist China has ever been printed in a chyron or the thing at the bottom of the screen on CNN. That's the very first time they've ever called communist China.
Yeah.
So the Dow is down 327 points. And you know what? I have to tell you something. Well, I don't think that rhetoric is helpful or necessary at all. Do you have faith that there aren't people very high up in, global economies that wouldn't love to see this thing derail before the election?
Oh, no, I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
I know there are.
Yeah.
Some of them have spoken out about it.
Right.
Not necessarily in positions of power, but they talked to all those people.
Yeah.
Bill Maher is one.
Yeah. Look, people are people. It doesn't matter what what position they're in. And there's a lot of people. Read about the Fabian Socialist in World War One. When the world needs to be redesigned, there are a lot of people that want to shape it closer to their heart's desire. And they figure, you know what? If we just push it this way and this way, we'll be able to round off all of these corners and we're going to be the ones in charge. And that's not a conspiracy. That's just true. That's just the way things work. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones or any of those shows. That's not fiction. Yes, that particular storyline is fiction, but that's the way the world really is, especially in brutal, brutal times.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that I'm doing everything I can in my home to make sure that we are on strong financial footing, that we've taken care of, as many of the bills that we have to take care of, that we're not getting ourselves into debt, that we're doing everything we possibly can. Looking at the stock market is at 25. Somebody just wrote Dow 30,000. And the reason why that made me so nervous is because,
wow,
I think it was the claim that the Dow would be 10,000, either 10 or 20,000, right before the crash. And they were all like, it's sky's the limit. And I remember being on CNN and saying that's that. OK, see here, that guy, don't do that because it's about to collapse. I don't know if and when this will all come undone. When it will all come down, but it will come undone. It is natural. It is natural. It is cyclical. And we have juiced this thing like crazy. We also are playing in a world that is completely unstable. Deutsche Bank is unstable at best. Look at how much debt there is. Look at the game that the EU is playing right now. And if you really want to read up on the Fabian Socialist, read up on Fabian Socialist in World War One and see what they were saying on the build up to World War One. They wanted it because they wanted to reshape all of the countries in Europe. They wanted to get rid of all of the kings and queens and everything else.
Which they did
in World War One. Okay? They restructured the entire European continent.
And the Middle East as
right.
well.
At a very, very, very high cost. It cost us World War One and World War Two. This is what's happening now. This is exactly what's happening now. Look at Brexit. Who in your right mind, when you have now Boris Johnson, who I don't think he's bluffing, I think he's going to leave the EU. Is there any doubt in your mind? When the people are asking for it, the England is just turned inside out, and then you get a prime minister who's like, yep, we're leaving. The date is October 31st, and we're gone. And I would strongly suggest that maybe you join us and try to come up with a nice exit because we're just going to leave. Why aren't they negotiating? Why isn't no one having any kind of talk on making it easy? And I believe it's for two reasons. One, if the EU loses England, you're going to have France and
Belgium.
Sweden and
Spain, I think.
Hang on just a second. Which one did you just say?
Belgium.
Belgium?
Yeah.
Brussels is in Belgium.
Yes.
Brussels is the capital. Yeah. Brussels is about the size of my backyard. And it's the capital of the EU.
Yeah.
So the entire world is going to Brussels because of the EU. So just put this in perspective. You're a Brusselette. And you haven't had people come into your country for anything, at all. That was important since, the big waffle craze of 1501, mm-hmm. And maybe mm-hmm. some chocolate times when chocolate was like, whoa, we can get that in Brussels.
Don't forget the Brussels sprouts run of 1842.
Yeah. So other than that, there's no reason. I've been to Brussels. There's no reason to go to Brussels. Okay. They're saying, yeah, we got to break up this EU. We want out. They're the capital of it. They're the capital of it. So I don't think that's a really strong thing. So one of the things that they're thinking in the EU is we can't let the UK out, because if they go out, everybody, they're like, well, mm-hmm. they're going, we're going. The other is, let's make it really, really painful for the UK to leave. Because if the United Kingdom leaves and it's really, really painful,
it's a warning to everybody else.
It'll be a warning to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So when you have that going on in October, our president needs to be paying attention to the economy here. And you need to as well. You need to pay attention to these things because it doesn't have to be Donald Trump. The press will blame it on Donald Trump. And the press will blame it on, you know, his tariffs, which have not been helpful. But they'll blame it on his tariffs or whatever. They want this. They need this for him to lose the election. Because if the economy is fine, who's going to listen to somebody who says, yeah, I'm going to spend $16,000 in global warming and
trillion.
Yeah, sorry. $16 trillion.
$16,000, yeah. That wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, $16 trillion on global warming, and we're going to get rid of capitalism and the free market. We're going to take over the energy. We're going to be Venezuela. That is what they are saying. You're not hearing that in the press, but just read their proposals. Read Bernie Sanders' new proposal. We will be Venezuela. Now, who wants to vote for that here in America? Who wants to vote for that? You won't even look at it because the press won't show it to you. The press will talk down the economy. The economy could have real reason for falling apart. And then what? Then what? People who are scared look to somebody who say, I got a plan for everything. And I'm going to take care of you because I have a plan for everything. Didn't even get to the San Francisco convicted felons. We'll get to that here in just a second. I also have a new medical invention, Pat, that I think is pretty amazing.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'll share those coming up in just a second. Wouldn't it be great if everyone you did business with throughout your day could consistently be counted on to be in the up and up? Yeah, not going to happen. Not going to happen. If you didn't ever have to worry about any of the people who you had dealings with, if you didn't have to worry, are they going to be honest? To say nothing about being competent in the first place, the world would be different and you would be able to get a lot of things done. That's the philosophy behind realestateagentsitrust.com. The name pretty much says it all. We all have dealt with real estate agents in the past before. And at least for me, it's been a mixed bag. So what are the best practices of the best real estate agents around? We found them. I started working with the 500 best real estate agents in the country about 10 years ago. And they're named by the Wall Street Journal every year. And started talking to them, starting to get to know them and ask them, what makes you different? And there is a formula. We put that formula together as a litmus test. Let me look at the best real estate agents. You say they're the best. Great. Tell me about this, 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 and this. And those are the people that we have working for you at realestateagentsitrust.com. So if you're looking for somebody that is going to sell your home fast and for the most amount of money, we're going to help you find a new home in a new area. realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now. realestateagentsitrust.com. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. All right. So The city has a new person-first language guideline. City of San Francisco, person-first language. I mean, could we get more Orwellian than we are? I mean, we are now being told by a government what words you can use.
Yeah. Is this the one that also includes the pronoun thing, that they're eliminating pronouns? I think this is part of that same plan. They're doing the pronoun thing, too, so they don't offend anybody. You don't say him or her. You use they and them.
Well, these are to stop social stigmas.
Okay.
That of people that are, you know, released offenders or, you know,
felons.
Former convicts or felons.
The people formerly known
right.
as
so
convicted
you can't,
felons.
Right. You can't do felon, convict, addict, offender, or juvenile delinquent anymore.
Huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Juvenile delinquent is now known as a young person with justice system involvement. A young person impacted by the juvenile justice system.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
An addict is a person with a history of substance abuse.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm an alcoholic, man. You're not helping me at all by saying, you know, Glenn had a few years and days where he was impacted by alcohol. No, I was a drunk. And if I can't say I was a drunk, then I'm not headed towards sobriety at all. Okay. If you're like, no, I had my life impacted by the justice system. That to me sounds like, really? Did like a prison truck hit you on the way to school or something? What happened? And it sounds like they impacted you. No. You impacted someone else. And that's why they came to arrest you and put you in juvie. That's why. So you don't have any of those words because they're trying to get rid of all of those because, you know,
you don't want to offend rapists and killers. You don't
correct.
Want to.
They were justice involved persons that were formerly incarcerated. Okay.
Justice involved persons.
Justice
formerly incarcerated.
Yes. Yes. Justice involved persons unless you are a young person that was impacted by the juvenile justice system. Or a young person with a justice system involvement.
Can you imagine wasting time on this?
No.
Time and energy?
No.
In a major city?
No.
And then they wonder why they got piles of human poop all over the streets?
Did you see the video this week that came out where the people were cleaning the streets and they had to wear hazmat suits?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would have a very hard time remaining quiet if I'm paying taxes in San Francisco and they are using hazmat suits to clean up all of the human poop and they're doing this, people would pay good money to see me show up at the city council meeting as a citizen who is paying their salary because I would not be silent. And I wouldn't be saying it just on the air. I would be saying it right there. I don't know who you are that are paying money to San Francisco for taxes, and you are, well, you're crazy. That's it. You're just crazy. That's it. I mean, I don't know who you are. Yes, I do. You're crazy. Because if you weren't crazy, you would already be down there saying these things. You would be leading marches against these. You would be running to get in office to stop these things, or you would have done what most Americans, you would have moved a long time ago. I don't know if you know this, but 800 square feet, that's not $1.2 million in the rest of the country. Don't know if you know that.
What?
And there's no one in your neighborhood, at least they may do it once, but they won't do it a second time. There's no one in your new neighborhood that will crap in your lawn. Now, there might be dogs, but no human will you ever open up and say, okay, kids, time for school. Oh, wait a minute. Mr. Busy is making busy in our front lawn again. Knock it off, Mr. Busy. You don't have to do that.
And it's a shame, too, because that was one of the most beautiful cities, not just in the country, in the world.
I think it is.
It was fantastic.
I think it is America's most beautiful city.
It might be.
Yeah. I think it's just the architecture, the history, the hills, the water, everything. That is America's, I think, most beautiful city.
That's one of the things Republicans should be reinforcing all the time is look what happens in these Democrat strongholds. Places like San Francisco, who've been run by Democrats for 50, 60 years at a time. And now they've destroyed it. It's a hellhole. It's a Democratic hellhole.
Look at, you know, if you look at Los Angeles, they're having warnings about the bubonic plague. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, but the bubonic plague is behind us, progressives. You're progressing us back into the Stone Age. When they were looking at typhus. Pat.
Typhus?
Have you ever had reason to worry that you might get typhus?
No, I don't. Right. I really
do
haven't.
You even know how you get typhus?
I really don't.
Okay. I think it's through lice. All right.
And through lice?
Lice. I think you can get typhus for at least that's the only time. The only thing I've ever known about typhus is it was always the scourge of the concentration camps.
Yeah.
Because everybody was just so filthy and living in their own filth and the bugs, and it was carried by lice. All right.
Yeah.
Typhus. Los Angeles has typhus warnings out. You're not a progressive city when you're dealing with old timey. It's like, well, we better get the iron lung out. You never know. There's a bad case of the vapors going around.
What consumption. We're going to be hearing about consumption in Los Angeles.
Well, she died of consumption. What?
Really? Do you even know what that is?
No, that shouldn't. Where is she? Had TB, tuberculosis. All right. In America, nobody's had TB for a very long time. Very long. We kind of stopped that at the Statue of Liberty. You're not moving forward. You're moving backward. Do you know that 1 in 5 citizens in California has been has been impacted by the justice system? 1 in 5 people in California have been impacted by the justice system.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a good thing you got going on there. Long gone are the days, you know, where the Beach Boys were saying, come to the beaches of L.A. and it's so great and everybody's great and the California girls are so pretty and so fresh and so free. No, they're smeared in poop and they could give you a case of the vapors.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Well, I am so excited for our cruise through history that we are embarking on next spring. Imagine a floating museum filled with amazing artifacts that help explain our founding, the founding of this republic. Then imagine that you and I get to sit together and listen to David Barton and Rabbi Lappin and Tim Ballard talk about the history, specific things about our history. Then going on a bus together and going to see, you know, Athens, going to the Holy Land, seeing Bill O'Reilly and I together kind of duke it out on stage right before the election, except we're doing it in Israel. That's what this is all about. Yeah, you got the pool and the drinks and everything else. You got all that. You don't have to bring a wallet. You just have to get to the airport. Then everything from the taxi cab, there's no tips involved. Everything's paid for. This is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime cruise through history. Go to comesailaway.com to learn more right now. Comesailaway.com. Join us next spring. And don't forget, you can buy your tickets to my Christmas show, December 7th. You can find all of the tickets online now at glennbeck.com. So, Pat, are you going to your sprawling estate in Martha's Vineyard this weekend? You're going to fly up there?
Not this weekend. I can't make it this week. I have a previous engagement.
Ah, shoot. Well, yeah. You have such a sprawling mansion. What'd you pay for that?
Oh, you know, I don't like to brag.
Right. Uh-huh. So let me ask you this. Remember when President Obama went into the White House? And they had all these student loans that they were paying for.
Yeah, Michelle talked about that.
Yeah.
She said,
I ask you, don't we deserve a president who understands what it's like to carry a little loan debt? Who
yes,
knows
that's what we deserve.
Person that access to an education shouldn't mm-hmm. be based on whether your family can afford it, that we need to train our young people and give them opportunities. Don't we deserve that kind of leader?
So we deserved a leader who had loan debt.
Right.
And
don't you deserve a leader that's kind of sketchy and
hasn't really paid their bills
and has not really made enough money to pay off their student loans?
Don't you want somebody who's been bankrupted a bunch of times?
Oh, wait. We got that one in spades. Now, listen, here's the thing. He also was the guy who said that there comes a time when people just have too much money.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been able to put my finger on when it is the government should say you have too much money. But do we have that audio?
Yeah.
Here
yeah.
he is.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
You've made enough money.
So I would like to ask the president how he's made his money. He's just purchased a second home. Now, this is a summer home.
Well, he's got that dump in Washington, D.C. that's
$9 million.
But they barely fit in there.
Right.
It's only like 9,000 square feet.
Right.
They barely fit.
And it's the two of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got to get out of that dump. You want to save it. But there's times when you're like, oh, it is just... It's oppressive here in the heat,
mm-hmm.
and why I just don't know what to do. So you have to jump on your aeroplane, and you fly to some island like Martha's Vineyard. So when you go up to Martha's Vineyard, you don't want to just stay in some haphazard hotel. You don't want to borrow a friend or maybe rent a home for those 2 weeks. You want to make sure your home mm-hmm. is your home. And so you have a home in a vineyard, and it's just a small little piece that has some beachfront property. And why, it's a simple, quiet little $14.5 million home.
And that little spot on the beach is only 29 acres of beachfront property. Just 29.
But Martha's Vineyard, have you ever been
there? It's not 1,000 acres.
Right. It's a huge island. Huge island. So 29 acres of waterfront property is
nothing.
Nothing. Pat,
mm-hmm.
are you a little bothered that somebody who was having problems paying his loans just went to do, quote, service
uh-huh.
and serve America, mm-hmm. and just 4 years later, he's got a $9 million home. He's also got a $14.5 million home.
That one's kind of a fixer-upper opportunity,
oh,
though. Yeah.
Can I ask you something? What does it take to maintain, just maintain?
A $14 million home?
Yeah.
Oh, $1 million a year, maybe?
I remember.
Just in property taxes, you're going to pay $600,000-$700,000 a year?
Every year.
Yeah.
How are they going to pay for that? How are you going to pay for that? They were president of the United States. You don't ever have to worry about working again. That's wrong.
And keep in mind, these are the income inequality people, the
yeah.
people whining about that continually. And they're all about the little people and the working man. And then they live like this.
You know who the little man was? The last little man I think we had was Eisenhower. Truman.
Truman.
Truman. Mm-hmm. I love when Truman, he paid off his 30-year loan that he had made right before or right after World War I. He had opened up a men's haberdashery, and he and his partner. Yeah, that's
not
what
a lot of haberdasheries.
No,
around.
It was a shrinking
yeah.
call for haberdasheries. But he and his partner, they went bankrupt, and Truman said, "I'm going to pay off all of my creditors." And it took him until he was president to do it. He was making payments since from like 1920 or 21 until he was president in the 40s. He paid it all off when he left office. He got into his old Buick, and he drove himself home.
And they lived in the same house that they'd lived in for years.
Yeah, they went back to their same house that they lived in Missouri that they left before.
It's incredible.
And he drove himself, he and Bess. And my favorite, one of my favorite 20th century presidential stories is on the way home. And he's driving on these new highways, and he's driving. He's an old guy, and he's driving, and Bess is in there, and the lights and sirens go off, and the president is pulled over, okay? And the guy comes up, you know, off to the side, and he's like, registration and license, please. And Harry Truman rolls down the window, and he hands him his, and as he's handing him his license, the police officer said, Mr. President? And he said, yes, young man, I don't know what I did wrong. Am I speeding? And at that time, Bess leans over and scoots over on the big bench seat in those old Buicks, scoots over. And he said, no, sir, you were way under the speed limit. And Bess looks at the police officer and says, I've been telling him to speed up. Would you please tell him to speed up? That's how presidents used to be. They didn't leave and take all of the office and all of the trappings. Mm-hmm. They went back to being people. George Washington didn't want to be called president. He was Mr. Washington. He didn't want to be called Mr. President. He didn't want to be called Mr. President when he was president, let alone after he was president. No, there's only one president. That's the way it used to be. You were a citizen servant. People aren't servants. Do you really think that Donald Trump, whose family was set forever, that his family isn't even more set now? Do you think there's anything that his family is ever going to need because of just the clout of being president?
No.
The same thing with Barack Obama. He was poor. Now he's got a $9 million house and a $14 million vacation house. I remember when I bought my first biggish house. It was in New Canaan, which at the time was very expensive. Now I think you can get them for like a pack of Cheerios. and it was 2 acres of lawn. And I'd never had anything like that. And I was walking with the real estate agent, and they walked a little ahead. And I said to Tanya, what does it even cost to mow this yard? And she stopped and she looked at me and she said, we shouldn't be looking at this house if you're worried about how much it's going to cost to mow the lawn.
It's a really good point.
I would say to the Obamas, mm-hmm. what does it cost to mow your yard? What does it cost to paint your beautiful shutters? What does it cost? How are you going to keep up with the taxes? My gosh, you've made yourself quite a little industry under the guise of President of the United States. Bothers me, just bothers me so much. I have no problem with people being rich. I do have a problem with people who claim that they're not rich and then have a problem with rich people and then celebrate in their richness. I have no problem with rich people. None. I have no problem with people who go. I love success stories. I cheer for people who come from behind and then, you know, rocket to the top. It bothers me that we are talking about people who went into public service. Charlie Rangel, World War II guy, left. He was poor. He fought in World War II, went into Congress. He now has beach houses everywhere. How did this guy get rich? How did he get rich? In service of his nation? That's not. No, service is the military. And the Congress and the president and everybody else should have exactly the same salary as the military. They should have the same rules as the military and the same salaries as the military. Sorry, Congressman, you're not going to get a raise. Housing is expensive. Right. That's why we have the congressional barracks over here. Why is that service so cushy? And the servicemen go out and they live a hell life. Are really truly sacrificing and come home and then they don't get all the, they're not buying a $14 million vacation home. It's not right. All right, enough of that rant. Sponsor this half hour is Car Shield. If you've ever been driving down the freeway, you look ahead of you and you think, that piano hanging half out of the bed of that truck doesn't look like it was tied down very well. And as soon as you think of that, of course, you begin to play all of the possible scenarios in your head, which by the end of the day, you're going to have to spend a lot of money getting your car fixed. Now, Car Shield does not cover pianos falling on your car on the highway. However, perhaps it should. Car Shield actually helps you with the things like your engine going wrong, your transmission going wrong, a sensor going wrong. The things that you never think about, you don't have money to waste on that. You're just like, I just want my car to work. Just make it work. Those things can really put you behind the eight ball if you don't have warranty anymore in your car. You need extended coverage, and the people that provide it for me, and I highly recommend it for you, Car Shield. CarShield.com. Call 800-CAR-6000. That's 800-CAR-6000. Use the promo code Beck. CarShield.com. Promo code Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So how many times have I said medical miracles are going to start becoming more and more frequent, and you're going to see things just over the horizon that you'd never think, you know, cures for cancer are coming. In Australia, scientists in Australia, the researchers there have just come up with a new pill. If they could come up with a pill to get rid of stuff, what would it be?
I'd like it to be cancer, Alzheimer's, typhus.
I might be a little shallow for thinking fat was my first one, but
that's a good one though too.
Fat pill would be really good. Yes. Well, they've come up with something even better. The team has developed an electronic capsule that you can swallow to monitor gas levels in your gut. When it's paired with a pocket-sized receiver and a mobile phone app, the pill reports tailwind conditions in real time.
What?
The data on the fumes could clarify the conditions of each section of the gut, what the microbes are up to, and which foods may cause problems in the system. Until now, collecting such tailwind data, it may have been a challenge, I'll bet. They say popping this electronic pill is a breeze, and the early human trials have already hinted that the pill can provide new information about intestinal wind patterns and gaseous turbulence from different foods.
Finally.
Somebody's done it.
Finally.
So I would like to get this for my son because he is the most, he is, I mean, it's toxic. It's toxic. We were at a show. We were in Vegas at Penn and Teller. And he said to me right before we went in, we ate, and he said, Dad, I think I'm going to have a problem. I said, are you sick to your stomach? And he said, no, other end. And I'm like, oh, no. Well, you can't just let him go because they're toxic. They're just deedly. Mm-hmm. He got up in the middle of the Penn and Teller show, and he's like, Dad, I've got to leave the room for a minute. And I'm like, go. So he's like, excuse me. And he's doing kind of the poop walk. And he's like, excuse me. There's no poop. If he would have farted in that room, he would have killed three roads. He would have done it. I don't know what it is, but something is dead inside of him.
Oh man,
yeah. So it's bad.
But well, that's lovely.
So
I'm
we're looking for
it.
The yeah, yeah. So we're I'm excited about this.
Yeah,
this
that's, is this that will is be good for you.
Yeah, we'll have early warnings. Look like a big storm is coming about 3 this afternoon, rolling in Rafe's stomach. So that's great.
Nice.
also, there's some really good stuff happening in Texas that you should know about.
It does prove kind of that Texas is still Texas. Some laws to take effect on September 1st. More lenient gun laws. While everybody else is going the other way, Texas is making it easier to own and carry guns. Kids can legally sell lemonade at stands now without a permit, which is great. You can carry brass knuckles and other self-defense items legally later this year.
All right. Do you know anybody that carries brass knuckles?
I don't. But
I mean, that seems weird that it's like I mean, who asked for that? It's like, hey, I just moved in the town, and I'd like you as you as my congressman to make sure I can bring the brass knuckles in.
Maybe that's for when Fredo visits Texas.
Right. Right.
He can keep his. Texans, get ready for beer to go and booze delivery. So they'll bring it right to your home, which has been illegal until now.
Is that incredible? All of those drinking years.
Right.
It was so hard. I could have called and just said, bring me more Jack and Coke, please.
DPS surcharges for traffic offenses are going away. They've stopped red light camera tickets. You can't get a ticket anymore from a red light.
Yeah. By the way, if you live in New York or California, they've also banned. Then this is true. You can't move to Texas anymore.
Oh, yeah.
If you're from California or New York.
That took effect last weekend.
Last weekend? Yeah. You probably won't. Mm-hmm. They keep it kind of quiet. It's on the down low. But just, I mean, if you're thinking about moving to Texas.
We're just trying to save you the trip because you'll be turned away at the border.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Ah, I hate that.
Ah, it's too bad.
Yeah.
They've got to save Chick-fil-A, Bill. they are stopping telemarketers from trying to fool you with the wrong area code.
I love the great state of Texas.
Good stuff.
You should try it in your state. It's actually good.
It works.
Quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someday we'll get them to pay for the gas bill, too. So we don't have to do it because government should be doing things like that.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.